In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Looks like the weather cut us a little bit of a break for the late service, so we're grateful for that. Two reasons. One, travel's easier, and there's a lot less dripping going on in the background during church. This morning, I wanted to take a moment and reflect on this passage from Isaiah. And this will probably come as a surprise to you, but as I was doing my preparation, I looked at a couple of different scholars, and I found one of them, and he and I are in complete disagreement of what this says. So I have to question whether or not I should use that resource anymore. The reality is here in this passage from Isaiah, it falls in towards the back of the entire book. It's chapter 62 is 66. And I think Isaiah is giving us a chance to hear what God is doing and the way in which he is loving his people. Some would say it sounds like a rather selfish claim of the Israelites, but the reality is they've been through a little bit of struggle, and if you're unaware, and you need to know more about it, a shameless plug, we are studying Isaiah on Thursdays at 11:30. It's online if you want to join us. We're just getting started, but I just want to say that a lot has happened, and what we're hearing is actually a prophecy of Isaiah, which is him speaking of God, and the study Bible I work with likes to put it this way. It says, the desolation of God's people will be replaced with delight. And I kind of like that thought. And although we haven't faced desolation as God's people, we've certainly had one or two struggles along the way, amen? Each of us, either as a community whole, as individuals, as the world in the last couple of years, there's been a few challenges along the way. And so when we're facing challenges in many places, and most especially in our relationships, sometimes it's a good idea to remember how it all began. So over the years, I've worked with fathers, another one of God's funny jokes. And in one of the courses I used to facilitate, it was for dads who were expecting their first child. And they usually got signed up because, you know, first-time mom does the whole hospital thing, signs up for every class available, and then realizes, oh, there's a class for dad too, and so she signed dad up too. So you can imagine the men were just so excited to be there on a Saturday morning for 4 or 5 hours with us. But one of the things we'd always remind them at the end of the class is, your life is going to change. Anybody who's had a child is probably aware of that. I said, so on your way home, if there's a favorite flower or something along those lines that you would bring to your bride or the mother of your child, you should pick that up on your way home and take it to her. Because at this point, if you're in this class, you're relatively late in your pregnancy, and I suspect there's been one or two moments. So this is a good time to remember how this all began. So in this prophecy, what I hear, and I believe others would be in agreement, is we are hearing what God is going to do, not only what he's going to do, but there's a little bit of his understanding his motivation. What I hear is God's perfect love. God's perfect love. Now that's hard for us to grasp. We love one another. I think, yes? Yeah, we love one another, amen? Okay, and sometimes we get it really right. Sometimes we can be in relationships, in our human failing in our relationships, we can lose sight pretty easy. So there's things and moments that we can hold on to remember that we have truly not only experienced perfect love through God, but in moments we have actually expressed a perfect love in this world. So one of the things that came to mind for me was each time we attend a wedding, there's that moment, right? The music changes, if there's music, and everybody in the church stands up, if for some reason they're actually in a church. I haven't been to one in a church in a while. But everyone stands up, and everybody turns towards the back because the bride is coming in. And these days, it gets a little stranger because not only does everyone turn, about half the people then have a phone sticking out. So you look down the aisle, and it's phones, and everybody's capturing the moment, and everybody's looking at the bride. I never look at the bride. I look at the groom. If you want to see a moment of perfect love or potentially desperation, look... look at the groom. That's the moment. Even when I officiate a wedding, the bride's coming and I'm going, that's nice. I want to see how the groom is responding to the entrance of his bride. Because that is the moment, brothers and sisters. Some of us have been married a few years, may or may not actually have a picture of that moment or of the bride on their desk. Because I never want to forget that moment with all that is rushing in. And two things. One of my greatest desires is coming to fruition in this relationship as the bride is coming down the aisle. So next time you're at a wedding, look at the groom. And then when we begin to hear, and maybe I hear it different having been a groom, maybe then we start to hear what God is saying about us a little differently in this perfect love that he has. Speaking through Isaiah, his prophecy, he's talking about a renewal of his people, a reclaiming of his people. And he says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. Her salvation like a burning torch. Now we know in this time of Epiphany that we have been adopted in, amen? We have been brought into being God's children. And we live on this side of the cross where Jesus Christ has given his very body and blood so that he could seal that relationship between himself and us. The salvation has come. Now, when Isaiah was writing, when these prophecies, he wasn't likely writing them, but when these prophecies of Isaiah were being spoken, we were still waiting, God's people, we're still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But we know through this season, we are reminded that this began for us because of the Messiah. Amen? Our Lord Jesus Christ has entered into this world, God's perfect love, so that he could draw us near, and so that our salvation will shine like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. See, the Lord is reaching to us in this. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. I don't know how your life has been. I know how mine has been. And I've seen evidence in yours and others. This concept of being forsaken, left behind, forgotten. We've had moments like those too, haven't we? Just like those beautiful moments of perfect love that we've experienced and experienced offering. There have been times when we felt as though we were not loved at all. There have been times when we felt like maybe we had been forsaken. There have been times maybe in the last couple of years, and for some of us maybe just the last week, where we felt as though we could not be anywhere near the rest of the world, and the world did not want us anywhere near them. Amen? But we live in a different time of grace when it comes to our relationship with God. He has made every step necessary for us to be reconciled to him. We are not forsaken. We are not left behind. We are loved by him, amen? And it is an unconditional love, a love that is being expressed here in such a way that I don't know how we could miss it, although I know at times I have. But here's the thing. This love that God has for us, the love he has for each one of you, is always this love, unconditional. The love in which he sees us and delights in us. We will no longer be forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her. We are the bride of Christ. His delight is in his church, his people. Delight. That's not, yeah, I kind of like them. It's not that. It's not, well, as long as they meet my criteria. It's not that. It's a delight that he has. He delights in his people. That means we are everything to him. His relationship with us is everything for God. It's what he desires most for us, to be in relationship with him. And I think sometimes it's just good to be reminded of that. So when we go through our lives and we feel like maybe we've stepped off of his path, so to speak, and we find ourselves following the world and not following God, and then we stop and think, well, I can't come back. Well, you can, because you know what? He never left. Even in those moments, he continues to delight in you. Regardless of how you might be feeling, you cannot change how he feels about you, amen? He must have a picture on his desk too. So he just doesn't ever forget. There is a connection that he has made with us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. He will never break it. You might deny it. I don't recommend that. And there may be times when you know it's there and you know he's there, but you're just not in it. He has never and will never forsake you. This relationship is his delight. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Your God rejoices over you. This relationship cannot be broken. He will never leave you, regardless of who you think you have become, or what you think you may have done wrong, or what you believe from perhaps even the church telling you to be the truth. The truth is this: God loves you. He loves you at such a level. He entered into this world to look like us and walk like us and be with us, and then made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf to pay for the sins that we will continue undoubtedly to commit no matter how hard we try not to. He has paid the price so that we can live in the very grace of God. We have been blessed. Amen. We have been blessed, but let's not forget. Her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication. The world shall see your salvation. when we know that we are blessed for the purpose of not only gaining this relationship with God, but to become an example of how God's perfect love can transform a person, which, by the way, will transform the world. When we live into it, when we take our blessing and become a blessing, God is glorified. And God is glorified in us when we accept this perfect love, His perfect love, and live as His beloved. Amen.